Our language commentator, Jeffrey Nunberg, is usage editor of the American Heritage Dictionary, so he's constantly monitoring changes in our language. Today he examines how a common noun can suddenly lead a double life as a verb.
If you could repeal one word, what would it be? Judging from the mail that comes into the American Heritage Dictionary, the most widely hated linguistic transgression of our age is the use of the noun impact as a verb, as in a sentence like, "Inflation impacted strongly on our operation." I've just been going over the citations we've been collecting for this usage, and I've got to admit that the people who complain about it are onto something. The earliest example that I found is from a 1967 speech by General William Westmoreland, assuring the American people that the most recent increases in American troop strength in Southeast Asia would, and I quote, "impact not only on Vietnam, but on the whole developing world." In fact, it seems that generals are drawn to this verb. Not long ago, it popped up in a truly breathtaking piece of bureau prose by former Marine Corps Commandant P.X. Kelly, commenting on the Moscow Embassy spy scandal. Get this one. "We must not let the actions of a few remote individuals impact adversely on the image of the most unique fighting force that the world has ever known." Now, one piece of material like that is enough to keep a language critic in business for months. You can rail all you like about imprecise diction or sloppy syntax, but none of these vices is so entertainingly outrageous as the spectacle of a four-star general crashing through the English language as if it were the surf off Omaha Beach. It's no wonder that language critics have made impact the number one pomposity of the 80s. Still, we should probably keep in mind that words like impact have a way of working themselves into the fabric of the language. You can see why impact would be so appealing to bureaucrats and their ilk, because it allows them to sound important while at the same time masking their ignorance. It not only provides a grandiose substitute for the verb effect, it also gets them out of the embarrassing problem of having to decide how to spell effect with an A or an E. That's why it was foregone that impact would become the common usage in bureaucratic circles. It seems you can't throw a rock nowadays without hitting somebody who's using impact as a verb, though mind you, I'm not suggesting that we should stop trying. But this leads us to a nice little moral dilemma. Once the usage of impact becomes standard, it's bound to lose its pretentious connotations. And at that point, there's every chance that we are going to sound like stuffy old farts for complaining about it. By way of analogy, it's worth recalling how critics a generation or two ago were raising the roof about the use of contact as a verb, as in, "I'll contact you next week." One critic called it an abomination, another called it a lubricious barbarism. The New York Times style manual said it was graceless and warned writers to stay away from it. Nowadays, of course, most people can't imagine what these fulminations were all about. Contact seems a perfectly serviceable verb, a concise way of saying get in touch with. But does the present acceptability of contact mean that the critics of the 50s were silly to have gotten so worked up about the word? And if so, is it possible that people a generation from now will wonder why we made such a fuss about a word as common and unexceptionable as impact? Maybe we've got it all wrong. Maybe we should be celebrating Generals Westmoreland and Kelly as linguistic pioneers. Well, no, that can't be right. Whatever the future of the verb, the generals deserve to be taken to task. The trick is to understand that it is not impact itself that we're objecting to, but people's reasons for using it. In General Kelly's mouth, it is 6-bit bombast. In the mouth of one of his junior officers, it's ordinary linguistic currency. Like the man says, it's the singer, not the song.
Jeffrey Nunberg is a linguist associated with the Center for the Study of Language and Information at Stanford University.